In today's Mishnah, it's from the 6th and 7th Mishnah, from the 3rd Perek Masechet Git, and the Mishnah begins, HaMivi get Mirat HaYam VeChala. So again, we have the case where the Shlech, who's taking the get, the Shlech of the husband who's taking the get to deliver to the wife, becomes ill on his journey and unable to continue. But unlike in yesterday's Mishnah, where he could simply nominate another Shlech, in this case, we have a Shlech who's come from overseas. And as we've learned in the beginning of Masechet, he has to say B'fanei Nechta B'fanei Nechtam. He has to be able to say that both the get was written and signed in front of me. So what happens in this case? He simply can't say, he designates someone else to take his stead. But she says, Ose Beit Din U'meshalcho. What happens, he comes in front of Beit Din, the Beit Din will nominate another Shaliach to take the get to this wife. V'omer, and that Shaliach would say in front of Beit Din there and then, Lifneihem B'fanei Nechta B'fanei Nechtam. So the first Shaliach would say the fact that both the get was both signed, so written and signed in front of him, and that would satisfy the requirement, and then this next Shaliach would take the get and continue. It says, V'ein HaShaliach Acharon, the final Shaliach doesn't have to say, Ein HaShaliach Acharon Tzrich Lomar B'fanei Nechta B'fanei Nechtam. He doesn't have to say those words. He wouldn't be able to anyway because he didn't see it. Ela Omer, all he has to simply say is, Shaliach Beit Din Ani, that I am a Shaliach of Beit Din. And then that would be sufficient. And as soon as he says, I'm a shliach of Beit Din, then the next Beit Din who meets him, who now the get's going to be presented to the wife in front of, will understand that Minastam, they can assume that the previous Beit Din that sent him did everything as required, meaning they heard that first shliach who couldn't continue say, B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. Now, what's interesting is if the second shliach also becomes unable to continue, then he would also come in front of Beit Din, and Beit Din would designate another Shaliach. So the difference we find in this Mishnah, as opposed to the previous one, where the Shaliach didn't have to say B'fnei Nechtam, B'fnei Nechtam, they could simply hand over the Shlichut, this agency, to the next person to continue for him. But in this case, as soon as another Shaliach is going to step in to continue the journey, it would have to be done in front of Beit Din. Let's now learn Mishnah Zayin. It says, "Hamalvim ma'ot et ha-kohen v'et ha-levi v'et ha-ani lo mafrish aleihem mechalko." So we've learned this previously, that once someone brings in their produce or takes in the harvest, they have to separate certain trumot or ma'asrot. Truma gadol, the first one, about 1/50, goes to the kohen, that's truma gadola. Then you've got the first ma'aser, the first tenth. That goes to the Levim, and a tenth of that, the Maaser and a Maaser, is called Trumas Maaser, and that goes to the Kohen. Then you have the Maaser Sheni. Now, in the third and sixth year, it's not the regular Maaser Sheni, it's referred to as Maaser, and it goes to the poor. What the Mishnah is referring to here is if someone lends either a Kohen, a Levi, or a poor person money, but it was understood that through this arrangement, for example, let's say it was money loaned to a Kohen, that the person would then separate Truma, and instead of giving it to this individual, he would simply sell it, and that would be drawn down from the loan he gave to the Kohen. Or if it was, say, a Levi, the Maaser Rishon, he would simply be able to keep it, and the sum, the value he's taking, would be drawn down from the loan, the money he gave the Levi. So what the Mishnah says here is, even though the person lent the money and either Kohen, Levi, or Ani, they're not in contact, Mishnah says, Mafrish alem bechezkat shehen kayamin. He can continue being mafrish, he can continue separating and keeping that which was separated, or selling, for example, truma, that which was separated, under the assumption that the person who lent money to is still alive. Ve'inu choshesh, he doesn't have to be concerned, shema meta Kohen or Halevi, that the Kohen or Levi, or shema he'eshira Ani, or maybe this poor person has become wealthy now, and it's not really his ma'aser ani anymore that he can start detracting from the loan. In other words, this seems to fit in with the previous mishnats we learned, that once again we're not choshesh lamita, we're not concerned that the individuals that is critical to, in this case, a financial arrangement, has actually passed away. Mishnah, however, says metu, if, however, he knows that the Kohen or Levi actually passed away, tzarich litol reshut min ha-yorshim. He has to get permission from the Yorshim to continue with this arrangement, meaning to retain the Truma or retain the Maaser and draw down from the loan, because it might be that from the Yorshim's perspective, from those the heirs, that they would prefer to pay off the debt and receive the Truma and Maaser instead. However, im hilvan bifnei Beit Din, if the loan and this arrangement was done in front of Beit Din, then ein tzarech. They don't need to litol reshut min ha-yorshim, to get permission from the Yorshim to continue drawing down. Why? Because the way it's explained here is that yesh koach be-Beit Din, this is Kati citing Rashi, that Beit Din have the power to cast this chov on Kohenim and Levim in general. And also when it comes to Maaser Ani as well, the reason why I'm doing this is because they want to make it as easy as possible to facilitate these loans for Kohenim, Levim, and also Aniim as well. Let's look at the case of the Ani. That's why when it comes to the Ani, even if the Ani passes away and this loan, this arrangement was done in front of Beit Din, then in that situation, they have the capacity to, from the outset, the Beit Din have the ability to say this loan, if you like, was cast on all aniyim, such that the mais ani can still be retained by the lender to draw down from that original loan. And ultimately, it's to the benefit of the aniyim, because that gives them another avenue which they can actually get loans to help support them. What's interesting here, that takana was only in the case, for example, ani passed away. However, if ani became wealthy, you know, those fortunes turned, then the chachamim didn't apply the takana in that situation, then the arrangement would have to effectively end, and this now wealthy person who used to be ani would have to, I guess, pay back the remainder of the loan, and this lender wouldn't be able to continue drawing down from the loan by retaining this maaser ani. That was the Mishnah today.